Would you turn, please, in your Bibles, brethren, to the first book of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Genesis, we're going to be looking at some verses in chapter 12, God willing. Genesis chapter 12. I'll read, God willing, verses 1 through 5. These verses concern the patriarch Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. Genesis 12, we'll read together, God willing, 1 through 5. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Verses, if I correctly read, are from Genesis 12, 1 through 5. Brethren, pray with me that God will open our hearts to receive His Word, that I'll be able to preach His Word, that I'll understand it, and I'll be able to communicate somewhat to you by the power and direction of the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Holy Spirit of God would bless you to hear the Word of God, and that we would grow in grace and the knowledge of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray that, please. Amen. You know that this is the first Sunday of the new year. Something about new things thrills me, excites me. A new year. I sometimes have a little trepidation, a little concerns about a new year. I think, what's going to happen? But then when I think right, brethren, when I think correctly, I think about the one who holds all, who holds me in the hollow of his hand, the one who loves me, the one who guides me. And I think, why should I worry? I shouldn't. I should be excited about the prospects of a new year. We have stepped through the doorway into 2024, a new year, a new year. Same God, new year. That's a wonderful thought right there, brethren, to me. Same God, the God that's been with us all our lives, the God who was with us day by day in 2023. He's still there. He's still the same. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. My wife was a school teacher, and we rode by Mari, my late wife. She was a school teacher and a principal later. We rode by a school one time in Waycross that said, New Year, new principal. And she burst out laughing. And to her, that meant new marshal in town, new sheriff in town. Things are probably going to change. It wasn't her school, but I think she knew the principal and she got a kick out of that. Brethren, it's a blessing that we can say new year, same God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who loves us. The God who gave His only begotten Son to save us. Oh, what a blessing that is. I have said to you before, and sometime fairly recently, I think it was Elder Craig DeLoach, I'm not sure, he expressed this same idea that I'd had, same thought I'd had from time to time over the years. What if, brethren, what if our God changed? What if one day He loved us and the next day He hated us? What if He decided to just punish us for no reason? What if He was like that? Oh, what a hell we would live in. But he loves us, brethren. He doesn't change. He loves us. He's loved us from before the foundation of the world. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He says in the Old Testament, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I think that's Jeremiah, I believe. He says something like, I know the thoughts that I have for you or about you. He thinks about us, oh brethren, which leads me to another thought I want to take up in this first verse. So I'll just say to you, old man, but new blessings await me. Older people, new blessings await us. That's a comforting thing. Let's look at the verses now, brethren. These verses. I want to thank some of you who got on the Bible bus, and we're going to read, God willing, we're going to read through the Bible this year. Well, it's very fitting and proper that we're in Genesis, because that's where we began, where we got on the Bible bus in Genesis. On January the 1st, we began reading, and we've covered a lot of ground as far as from creation all the way. We've all the way been through the flood now in the Tower of Babel, and we're moving on. We're studying now some of these verses. And I love it because as I read, God points out lessons to me that I believe by the Holy Spirit. He says to me, teach this lesson to my people at Sturgeon Creek. So let's look together, brethren, learn together, God willing. First verse of chapter 12 of Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, and I've got to stop there, brethren, and just exclaim to you and thank God for the fact that God Almighty, the holy, holy, holy God, is willing, brethren, to speak to some man, woman, boy, or girl. He doesn't have to, brethren. Some weeks ago, I gave you the verse. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. He doesn't need us, brethren, but oh, how much we need Him. And when I was reading this verse and meditating about thoughts over these verses, it came to me, brethren, that how astonishing and astounding it is that God would speak to a man. Oh, he was a good man for sure, but he was still a sinner. A holy God speaking to a sinner is a wonderful thing, brethren. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, just brethren, relish that thought, if you will, for a few moments, that the holy God would speak to an unholy man. What a blessing. Now the Lord, not only did he speak to Abram, but he says to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Leave family, leave home, leave kinfolks, leave friends. I'm sure he had friends. Leave what you're attached to in that place. Leave. I thought about that, brethren. I thought about how somebody in, where was I? I was talking with a lady my insurance agent. I was talking to her yesterday, I believe it was. So it was Friday. And she told me that her son is a missionary in Peru, South America. This is all my grandchildren. He's my only son. He and his wife and all my grandchildren are in Peru. And she said, we go down there to see them. We go 3 or 4 times a year, but she said, they can't come up here very, very much. We go see them. You know, God said to that young man, leave your family and go to Peru. Now, he's down there ministering the gospel to those people. God sometimes says, leave your country. Sometimes he says, leave the county. I always say to y'all, you know, my plan was to live in Ware County, Georgia, live out my days in Ware County, riding my motorcycle and having a big time. That was my plan. But God said unto Mike, leave there and go north. And frankly, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad y'all aren't more than about an hour and a half north of Waycross. I don't want to go to Peru. But God, if he sends me, brethren, I got to go. Isaiah, when King Uzziah had that wonderful vision, Isaiah saw all that wonderful vision, and then he heard the Lord say, who will go for us? And then you heard the response, "Here am I, send me." Well, my response, brethren, when the Lord said, "Go up here," it was, "I really don't want to, God." It wasn't, "Here am I, send me." But that's the way I am. That's the way my nature is. But I'm glad I came, brethren. I'm glad to be here. And I want to be here just as long as the Lord wants me here. No longer. I may die here. I don't know. Or I may be gone for long. You don't know. What I want to be, brethren, is in the center of God's will, because that's where the blessings are for me and for you in your life. That's where the blessings are. And brother, you read the story of Abram now, later Abraham, you read that and you read how this man was obedient to the commands of God, and you'll see he was a blessed man. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Get where? Go where? Unto a land that I will show thee. I'll show you. And God, brethren, is a God of his word. And he showed him. And I will make of thee a great nation. You see, in these words right here, I fail to find anything that says Abram deserved any of this. Or really that he asked for any of it. God just unilaterally says, "Abram, you leave. I've got plans for you, my son, my man. I've got plans for you." Oh, what a wonderful thing. "I will make of thee a great nation," God says to him. At this point, the man has no children, zero, not a child of his own. God says, "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee." What a wonderful thing for God to do and say, "and make thy name great." You mention the name of Abraham to anybody who's read the Bible very much or been to church very much, and they'll probably be able to tell you some things about Abraham. His name is great. He's known as a patriarch. He's a great man of God. He's home with the Lord now, but when he walked the earth, brethren, he was a great man. God made him great. "I'll make your name great." I thought about this, brethren, as I was meditating on these verses. The book of Proverbs says in a couple of places, "A good name is rather to be had than gold and silver or riches," something to that effect. A good name. A good name is important, brethren. I want my name to be good. I want it to be good. It takes work and time to build a good name, and it doesn't take very long to besmirch it. Did you know that? It doesn't take long to ruin it. That's because we people, we tend to remember the bad in people rather than the good. A good name is a wonderful thing. A good name with men, with your fellow man, is a wonderful thing. But you know what's better than that, brethren? Is a good name with God Almighty. Whether another soul knows you and what you do, God, if God knows you and knows what you're doing and you're doing right, that's the best right there. But nevertheless, God said, "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you. I will make thy name great." And listen to this, "thou shalt be a blessing." Now that's a good feeling too, brethren, when you feel like you've been a blessing to somebody. There's a hymn in our hymn book that says, "Make me a blessing," right? I don't know who wrote it, but it says, "Make me a blessing to someone today." That hymn writer knew that it was that the hymn writer himself or herself would be blessed in their heart and life if God made them a blessing to someone else. And verse 4, brethren, it gets better. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee." That had to make Abram feel good right there, brethren, that God's on his side, God's got his back. People who bless you, I'm going to bless. People that cuss you out, people that deal badly with you, I'm going to deal badly with them. That's good. And then, brethren, comes the best statement of all. And this one, brethren, is part of our blessing. "And in thee, in you, Abram, shall all families of the earth be blessed." That right there, brethren, is God saying to Abram, that thing I did back in Genesis chapter 3, that thing where I made coats for the sinners, that thing where I covered their sin, that thing where I said the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head, that part, Well, Abram, you're going to have a hand in that too. You're going to have a part in that too. Because the Messiah, Abram, is coming from your line, Abram. And all the families of the earth will be blessed. God has a people in every family. And he says, Abram, you're in the line, son. What a blessing that had to be to this man. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed. I just thought of this for the first time. I wanted to tell you how Abram was obedient. And he had those promises and he seized on them. But you know what, brethren? You know, that'll get you motivated right there. It would me, I think, if God said, Mike, this is what I'm going to do for you. If he'd have said, when I was in Waycross, Georgia, with the mully grubs and feeling sorry for myself and saying, I'm just going to ride my motorcycle, by golly. If he'd have come to me then and said, Mike, leave Waycross and go to Fitzgerald, Georgia. You're going to meet some of the most wonderful people you've ever known in your life. And better than that, you're going to get a new, brand new wife. Beautiful woman who's going to love you. And you're going to get this and that and the other. You know what? I'd have hopped up and said, let's go, Lord. But I didn't take the promise like that. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Lord, he just said, I want you to go there. I don't know who called me. I don't know if it's you, sister. I don't know who called me. The mechanics of the thing, but I got the call. Whoever it was, I just knew I had a call to come up here. That's all I knew. And I knew I had other things I wanted to do. But I knew that God keeps his promises and he never leads you astray. And I knew that if you obey God, there's blessings in obedience. I knew that. So I came. And now I look back and I can write verses of all the things God has done for me up to this very instant. So Abram, brethren, it says here, after God told him all those things, verse 4 says, so Abram departed. I'm thinking, before I was thinking, well, might have taken him a few days or a few weeks, but I think he got to packing his bags pretty quickly myself, brethren. I think he said, let's go. And Abram took Sarai. Well, let's see, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Who was Lot, brethren? Abram's nephew. Lot's daddy was dead at this point. He had died. I don't know how old Lot was when his daddy died, but he was a young man, I think, or maybe a boy. And Uncle Abram takes him in, is raising him. So Abram departed, and he took, as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him. And by the way, Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, I'm going to go on and say this because I might forget it at the end of this sermon. But let me tell you this. Do you know how old Abram was when he died? Yes, he died. He was 75 when God came to him and gave him these instructions, these commands. And when he died, Genesis 25:7 says, he's 125, I think that's right. No. He lived 100 years after God came to him. 25, verse 7. Read you what God says about him here. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, and 103 years. That's 160 plus 15 would be 175. So he lived 100 years after what we're reading about over here in this chapter. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. That's a wonderful epitaph. That's wonderful. And Moses, who is credited with writing this history, he says that it was a good life, a good life. Yeah, because he was obedient to God. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, that she would later be called Sarah. Right now, I think the way you say her name is Sarai. And Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And I love this last phrase, brethren. Here it is. And into the land of Canaan they came. I like that verse. I like that. The way that's put. When I read that, and into the land of Canaan they came. Here we come. Bum, bum, bum. Here we are. Here come the Hebrews. Here comes the future nation into the land of Canaan. Here we are. I don't know if they crossed a river and they said, well, here we are. I don't know what the border was like. Maybe it's in the Bible and I'm just ignorant about that. But brethren, I got a feeling they knew when they crossed over into it. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. And here we are. Here we are, fellas. What a wonderful feeling that must have been. To be in the will of God and knowing God's blessing you every day doesn't mean you don't have any trouble, but it means that the trouble you have, God's with you. And He pours out blessings. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. Into the land of Canaan they came. Here we are. Okay, I won't read you or tell you any of the rest of the story of Abram. You can read it for yourself. You know he was a blessed man and a great man. I'd like to just tell you some things I can think of about him right now, but we've got to move on. But read it, read it. Read the Genesis account of this man. And then read chapter 11 of Hebrews in the New Testament. We're going to read a little bit about that in a minute. Now, brethren, I want to change a little bit, and I want to say to you, I read to you this history about the call of Abram and what God promised him and how it's going to work out for wonderful blessings for Abram. Now I want to change a little bit. I want to draw some parallels in the life of Abram and the life of Mike. I've already done one. I told you about it. Obeying God brings blessings. And the life of you, brother, and you, sister, parallels. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in how to live in 2024, instruction in righteous living. God, now the Lord had said unto Abram, God ever said anything to you? He speaks most often these days by the Holy Spirit of God and by His Word, if you and I will read it. He speaks to us and He'll say things to us. He'll talk to us. That Holy Spirit will lead you. If you'll listen, if you'll be receptive, and if you'll be obedient. I'm in the Genesis account right now of, I read Jonah a day or two ago, how the Lord spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. So Jonah departed and went to Nineveh. No, not until he got swallowed by the whale, right? Not until he had to go through some trauma and be taken to the woodshed. But he went and he did God's bidding there. God chooses people. He chooses people to everlasting life. You and I were chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. Abraham was chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. Genesis goes way back. Depends on who you ask, how many thousands of years it is, it goes back. But no matter how far back Genesis goes, brethren, further back than that, before the world began, God chose Abram. And at the same time, God chose every one of His children. That's you and me, if you're a born again child of God. What's the similarity between Abram and you? You see, I want to identify with Abram, and I want you to identify with Abram. God chose Abram, God chose me. God spoke to Abram. God speaks to me. He has spoken to me. He said, go to Sturgeon Creek and be their preacher. And I went and I've been blessed by it. Oh, that's one of many things He's instructed me to do. Some things He instructed me to do, I didn't do. And you know what the result of that was? One result was I missed blessings for not doing what God told me to do. And likely I'll never have another chance at some of those blessings. They're gone. I missed it. Missed opportunity. God chose Abram, brethren. Know this. God, the same God, in the same way, chose you. God said to Abram, get out of your country. Leave. Get out. I've heard preachers say that Abram's, maybe his father, the elders in his family, I've heard people say that they were idol worshipers. I don't disagree or agree with that necessarily. I don't know. But God had His own reason. And if that's a reason, that's certainly a good reason. if that's the reason he told him to leave there. But he told him to get out. Get out and go to a place that I'll show you. Get out. I want to go to the New Testament now, brethren. 2 Corinthians. God, brethren, has told you to get out, to leave. You know what he's told you? I won't read it to you. You've heard it before. But God's speaking again this morning, brethren. Here it is. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God spoke to Abraham. God speaks to every one of his children. And this is the message. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? If Abram's family were idol worshipers and evil people, then it makes sense that God would say, Abram, you're unequally yoked, my man, with these people. You need to leave them. You need to get out of there. If that was the case, what communion hath light with darkness? None. Natural light has no communion with darkness. It chases it away. Spiritual light has no communion with spiritual darkness. And what concord hath Christ, Jesus Christ, with Belial? That's Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What are you doing hanging out with infidels? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Do you know what? That the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence with the spirit of every child of God that's been born again. Your body is the temple of God. And Paul, the apostle, says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What in the world are you hanging out with unregenerate, ungodly people? What have you got in common with them? If you got something in common with them, brethren, you're in trouble. Because they're probably doing stuff you don't need to be doing. So get away from them. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here's the coming out part, brethren, verse 17. Wherefore, in other words, in light of what I've just read, or Paul says, in light of what I've just asked you these questions, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out. Abram, come out of where you are. Brother, sister in the Lord, if you're hanging out with infidels, come out of there. Get out of there. Saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, God's still talking, brethren, in 2024 to his people. Same God. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. I will bless you, Abram. Paul puts it like this. I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Similar language to I'll make you great. I'll bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. I'll bless them that bless you. Come on. Let's get started. It's 2024. Let's go. Come out and go to a land that I will show thee, God said to Abram. Abram and his family and his servants, they crossed the border somewhere, sometime later, and into the land of Canaan they came. Here they came, across the border. They were walking, just like I'm walking right now. Here we go. We made it. We crossed the border. Here's the land of Canaan before us. They walked on natural soil. They walked by trees, bushes. They walked under the sun, maybe under the moon by night from on occasion. They walked into a natural land. In that natural land, they're still fighting over there today, aren't they? Still fighting. But God gave it to them, brethren. Now, the land, brethren, that God calls you and me to is a spiritual land. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. It's a spiritual land. God has before us, he set before us a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. It's not meat and drink. It's not a natural kingdom. I'm on, God willing, try to preach to you tonight about some church members arguing over what you ought to eat and what you ought not to eat. And Paul says, look, it's not meat and drink. It's not what a piece of steak. It's not this. It's not a glass of wine. It's righteousness. peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual thing, don't you see? Don't get tangled up on legalism. God said to Abram, come out and I'll lead you into this land I'm going to show you. And Abram did that and God did it. God says to us, come out from ungodliness. Get that yoke off of you that you're yoked together with somebody that's ungodly. Get it off. Clean up yourself and I will be your God manifestly. And you will be my son manifestly. That is, you'll feel that he's your God. And you'll know that he's your God. And people that see you will say, he's a child of the King. He's a child of God. It's manifest in his life. Getting out of those things and touching not the unclean doesn't make you a child of God. But the fact that you are a child of God will be manifest when you do those things. Serve God first. I thank you, Sister Jane, for our opening to the preaching service. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the other blessings will follow. The things that you need as far as natural things. But seek God first. And He'll take care of you. Serve God first. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Wherever God leads you. It may be only across the street that God says, get out and go over there and see those people. It may be across town. It may be across the county or the state or the nation or the world. It may be. That's God's decision and His prerogative. But just go. And wherever you go, brethren, wherever you go, do like Abram did. Chapter 12, verse 6 says, and Abram passed through the land. He's on his way now unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. There he builded an altar. Where he was, where he stopped to camp out for the night or the week, ever how long he stayed there, there he builded an altar unto the Lord. Brethren, make God first. See him first. Worship him first. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. There is the next place he stayed. He built him an altar unto the Lord. First things first. He didn't say, well, let me get my job here and get my income and some of my bills paid. Then I'll see about tithing. Or let me get my house painted. Then I'll go to church. Oh, let me get the grass mowed, then I'll go. When everything's right, I'll go. Don't do that. Do God's work first, and the rest I have found, brethren, and God tells us the rest will take care of itself. Abraham lived to be 125 years old. He lived 100 years in those wonderful blessings of God in a good old age, full of years and full of blessings. I don't know what trials will come in 2024, but I know that I have the promise of God. Go where I bid you. Come out from among the evil of this world. Live above the world, and I'll bless you. It'll be manifest. I'll manifest it to you, and others will see that you are a child of the King, and you have the blessing. Now, you and I, brethren, you can live among the weak and beggarly elements of the world this year if you want to. Yes, you can do it. I think there are some saints of God that God just simply won't allow it. He's going to just wear you out and say, I'm going to straighten him out. Others, they're hard-headed, and I think sometimes God says, okay, you think you got all the answers, you go right ahead. But, brethren, I'd rather experience the blessings of God in 2024 by being obedient to Him and giving Him praise and honor for what He's done for me and what He will do for me this year. I'll have trouble. Job had trouble. You'll have trouble. But God will be with you. Job wound up, and I don't say this to try to get you to serve God so He'll give you something, but Job wound up with twice as much as he lost. I just saying, God owns it all. If you want to prosper in this year, brethren, if you want to prosper spiritually, which is the most important thing, serve God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and other blessings will be added to you. God called Abram, brethren. He's a man just like you and me in so many ways. He got saved the same way. The blood of Jesus saved Abram, and the blood of Jesus saves you and me. God called Abram. God calls you and me. Admittedly, on a smaller scale, But the principle is identical. It's the same. It's the same. Because God doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for rescuing us, oh God. Oh Lord, give us the grace to hear your word. Hear you when you speak. That you've chosen us. You love us. Nothing can separate us from you. And if we'll come out from the evil thing, that you'll bless us. You'll manifest yourself to us. You'll help us in every way. Thank you for that, Lord. Give us the grace to live it this year. Thank you for a new year and new opportunities. Thank you for the fact that we know, Lord, you'll be with us no matter what comes. You're with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. May we cling to you, O God. May we serve you in this year. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. The doors of the church are open for the reception of members. If you desire a home here, come forward as we stand and sing.